So Dodgers playing today. They're in St. Louis. They beat them yesterday. Max Scherzer, 8 innings and 13 strikeouts. No Mookie Betts in the lineup today. He's getting a day off. Max Muncy is getting a day off. The lineup includes Trey Turner, Justin Turner, Albert Pujols batting third at first base, okay. Corey Seager cleanup, Chris Taylor, Will Smith, Steven Souza Jr. because they're facing a lefty, and then comes Cody Bellinger.
Okay.
Cody Bellinger, who right now, when he comes up, I feel like he's an automatic out. He looks so awful at the plate right now. And I don't know what went wrong. I don't know when it went wrong. He keeps adjusting his swing. Supposedly that front shoulder is the problem. But I don't even know. He's a great defender, right? So he's there.
Right.
He's great on defense. Center field, right field, wherever you want to put him, he's a spectacular fielder. But as a hitter, he is a disaster right now. And I tweeted out, ugh, what are we going to do about Cody Bellinger? Send him down to AAA. Somebody needs to work with him. Send him down to Oklahoma City. He needs to chill, on and on and on. Send him to the minors. A lot of people are in that tape. Where are you on Cody Bellinger?
Man, it's a hard thing, because if you could get him even half of what he was, Mace, this is a guy who won Rookie of the Year and MVP 2 years ago. MVP. So the only way you can kind of get him back is to let him work through it. And now the games are too important and you really can't let him work through it. I don't know what you do. I understand why they're playing. Here's what I don't get about why he's playing today. J.A. Happ's pitching. Isn't he a lefty?
Yeah, they're facing a lefty.
So I'm guessing that, you know, the Dodgers are very heavily analytics-driven. Maybe Bellinger's had some success against Happ. That's the only thing I can think of. But I don't know. I mean, let's play this out long ways. So
okay.
Corey Seager's going to be a free agent at the end of this year.
Correct.
Scott Boras is his agent.
Yes.
He's probably going to leave. You've got Trey, because Scott Boras will get a monster deal for him.
Yes.
You've got Trey Turner signed and ready to replace Seager. Now you want to offer Max Scherzer some money because he's been great.
Yes.
If you bench Bellinger now, do you risk losing him forever?
You know, here's the thing with Bellinger. So they've got a big... They're going to have to sign Bellinger to a really big deal, I would think.
Not if he doesn't snap out of this funk. I think it becomes Steph Curry. One of the reasons why the Warriors were able to sign Steph Curry, they signed him for 4 years, $44 million, right after his first rookie deal, was because he had ankle problems and he couldn't stay healthy. I think Bellinger has shot his contract value in the foot with this season. And by the way, he wasn't very good in the pandemic year, the year they won the title.
Cody Bellinger, by the way, has two more years of arbitration left.
Okay.
So you don't have to sign him to some big deal in the offseason. The problem is he's making $16 million right now. And that number,
and is,
after another
Greg,
arbitration,
he is
will go
arguably
up.
The worst hitting everyday position player in Major League Baseball.
I mean,
he's
batting know arguably
165
anymore.
With an 077 batting average against lefties.
He's not getting on
disaster.
Base. He's not doing anything. And if you watch him, he normally, what happens is has his feet are together. They're lined up. And when he's in his batting stance, he has now changed it to where he's got his right foot back. And then other times he's got his left foot back. And he's stepping forward closer to the plate. Then he's stepping away from the plate. He doesn't have any idea what his plate stance is anymore. And that's a problem. If
and
you're a guy that just won the MVP, you have to understand what your swing is by now.
He's swinging for a home run in every at-bat. He is dying for that home run. He needs to be a better situational hitter. Put the barrel on the baseball, especially with two strikes, and good things will happen.
So, Mace,
you can't swing for a home run every time.
Who's the starting outfield tonight?
Starting outfield tonight is...
You said Betts is resting.
Betts is resting, so we've got... hang on one sec. We've got Chris Taylor in left, Steven Souza Jr. in right, and Cody Bellinger in center.
Where's Pollock?
Pollock got hurt, hamstring thing. He's gone for 2 to 3 weeks on a slide in the San Francisco series. So unfortunately, we lost Pollock for a while for down the stretch run, too.
And McKinstry is unavailable still or no?
McKinstry's there, but he really tailed off. I mean, and he's left-handed too. So tonight he's not necessarily useful.
Yeah, so it may be the reason they're playing Pujols is that series in St. Louis is sold out, so everybody can say goodbye to Albert.
Yes.
And so you knew he was going to get one start.
And he hit a home run over the weekend.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I was completely wrong about Pujols. You know, when I'm wrong, I will – that's the thing about me. When I'm wrong, I will tell you that I'm wrong. I thought the Pujols signing was terrible. I said he would bat 197 with six home runs. He has far exceeded that. And Albert Pujols has become this great clubhouse guy, this great culture guy, this guy that everybody goes to for advice and counseling. I was completely wrong on Albert Pujols. That was a genius signing for the Dodgers.
And the Angels are paying him.
And the Angels are paying him, exactly.
So it all worked out. By the way, for what it's worth, it was actually the right move for the Angels because the only thing Pujols can do is either DH or play first base. That's
yes.
it. You can't put him anywhere else. The problem is Ohtani has to DH. They don't want to play him in the field, and he's going to be the MVP in the American League, although Vlad Guerrero Jr. is giving him a run for his money.
Oh, yeah, but, 40 bombs now for him.
But so you have to – so DH is taken. And then Jared Walsh has turned into an all-star first baseman for the Angels. So it's one of those rare things where it actually worked out for both teams. And I'm really happy for Pujols, who's a really good dude.
He is a good dude. The Angels, by the way, should be in the Max Scherzer business.
Of course they should.
They should be.
By the way, I think maybe it's because they're in Anaheim and they're not under any media scrutiny.
Yep.
What they've done in building that team, and the new guy from Atlanta, is it Perry Minishkin or Minishin? I don't know how you pronounce his last name.
Minishkin, I think, yeah.
He's just starting, so you got to give him a chance. But that roster is so stinking lopsided. It's got all these great hitters, including Mike Trout, and they didn't build a pitching staff. Ohtani's probably their best pitcher.
Probably is their best pitcher. It's absolutely true.
And you're right. They should throw a boatload of money at Max Scherzer. But I don't know why they didn't try and trade for Scherzer when he was available. Maybe they did.
They were out of it, John. The Angels were out of it at the trade deadline.
They were six games out at the trade deadline.
With four teams in front of them.
Yeah, but six games out isn't out of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have given up young talent for Max Scherzer in a season where he can walk away and we're six games out with four teams in front of us. I think that was the right move.
Hey,
that was the right move.
I meant to ask you because I haven't worked with you in a while. You actually went to a game at SoFi, right?
Yeah, I went to the preseason game against the Chargers.
So give me your 30-second review of the facility.
Oh, my God.
That's it a five-second review. It's even better.
It is it is like walking into a different world. It is so high tech and everything is so new and that scoreboard is so revolutionary. And I happen to have pretty good seats for the games, which makes a difference. It is the greatest stadium I have ever been in, hands down. Hands down. I've been to just about every stadium. You know, I've been to Jerry World. Very, very impressed. This blows Jerry World out of the water.
Well, I mean, think about this. The most expensive stadium ever built in the United States before SoFi was Cowboys Stadium, Jerry World. They spent $1 billion. SoFi costs $5 billion, five times more than any other stadium that's ever been built. So, from what I've heard, it's lived up to the hype. A couple of things I hear they need to get worked out. I heard it's tough. You probably didn't stay till the end of the game, but I hear it's tough to get out of at the end of games.
I've got a cool parking situation,
right,
so it was easier for me.
Is it easy to exit once you get to your car?
You know what? I've only been there once, right? Because I was in Costa Rica, so I gave my Raiders tickets to Greg. Greg, what was the parking situation like for you?
It was pretty easy. We were in and out, but I mean, I also had a 9-year-old with me that wanted to leave a little bit early.
Yeah, leave a little bit early, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's going to be just a total you know what show getting out of the place. But we'll find out. I've not been in that situation. Sunday night's the first time we got a real football with real fans in a really spectacular stadium. I I cannot wait. I've said this before, but John, I am not a spendy guy. My grandmother would always talk about being spendy, right?
Yeah, but you did in this case.
In this case, I splurged. I went all in and really am excited to have these seats for the next 50 years.
Yeah, and then your heirs will get your money back, right?
Correct. After 50 years, you get all your cash back. So somebody, probably my nieces and nephews, probably Juan will still be around. Juan will get all the money. Something like that in 50 years, yeah.
All right, now, so Mace, standing by with traffic is our friend Karen Kay,
yeah.
Shoshana Krzyzewski. And Shosh, are you there?
Back.
Okay, thank you. Here's my question.
Yes.
Your Padres are clinging to a one-game lead in the wild card race. If the season ended today, it would be
yes.
Dodgers-Padres in the one-game playoff. They're one game ahead of the Reds, two games ahead of the Phillies, 3.5 ahead of the Cardinals, 4.5 ahead of the Mets. So there are four teams breathing down their neck.
I know.
How are you feeling about your Padres, who have the toughest schedule in baseball?
Well, after that series with the Dodgers, I was just so disgusted. I was so disgusted.
They've won two in a row.
Well, I know. But after the whole Scherzer thing didn't go through, to me, it just was like, ugh, like you take a balloon and just pop it and all the air went out. But I'm in one game. I don't think the Dodgers want them for one game. If they have to play them, if Dodgers still win the division,
I
still like our chances. If we just have one game with the Dodgers, I'm feeling good. They just have to get there. They just need to get into that position.
I don't think they're going to get there. I'm sorry. They've got 16 games against the Giants and the Dodgers left.
And just for that, I hope it takes you five hours to get out of us.
The way you're going to play it, Kiki. I'm just shooting straight with you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, I get nervous before every show. You don't, John?
No. That's one thing I don't get nervous about is talking on the radio.
And do you get nervous when you're calling a game?
No.
What if it's a really big game?
Can't wait to do them. Well, Michael's the same way. We love doing them.
What about during a round of golf?
I get nervous if I'm teeing off in front of people. Like, I might be nervous Friday
that.
If there's a bunch of people there.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate, and I'm going to have to do it too. I get nervous before things. I actually think it's a good sign. I still get up for things. I still get adrenaline when I'm doing stuff. Hey, don't forget, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see Rams-Bears Sunday night at the brand-new SoFi Stadium. We're going to do Lie of the Day at 3:30, so make sure you are here.
Soon.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish beat Florida State 41-38 over the weekend. And Brian Kelly was interviewed. Was this at halftime or after the game?
No, halftime.
Brian Kelly was interviewed at halftime about the performance of his team, and here's what he said.
So that was obviously after the game.
Yeah, right.
But he's taking a lot of heat for this because he suggested that his entire team should be executed. And he was trying, he said later after the game, he was trying to do something that John McKay, the old USC coach, did. John McKay was at the top of the college football world. We talked about Coach McKay earlier when we were talking about Sam Cunningham. And he left at the height of his popularity to be the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Tampa Bay's expansion franchise
came into the league. Went 0-16.
And somebody asked him,
What do you think of your team's execution?
And his answer was, I'm in favor of it. Which is really witty and smart. The way Kelly did it was kind of a reach.
Yeah,
play
that. Play that again, Taylor.
Okay, but here's the thing. So that's what he was trying to do.
He was trying.
I don't understand the hubbub over this. Do you?
No, I mean,
it seems like a harmless comment.
Seriously? That's not harmless.
It was a callback to John McKay.
Greg, but like, who knows that? Who knew that? I'm 38 years old. I didn't know that John McKay made that joke. So, of course, the people are going to get up in arms. They're going to say, what? You just told your players to get executed.
Wait a minute. So you thought it was offensive?
Well, at the time, I mean, now I know the joke, so I don't think it's offensive anymore. But when I saw it at first, I was like, whoa, what is this guy doing? Like, you can't say things like that.
Yeah, he just got the line completely wrong.
Totally wrong. John McKay said that in 1979.
Yeah, but it's that line like, works today. What do you think of your team's execution? I'm in favor of it. To me, that line still works today. That's still a funny line.
I think had Kelly credited McKay, for lack of a better word?
Nope. After he was asked about it, he said, well, I was just doing the old John McKay bit.
I think it would have worked. I think if whoever that girl was that asked him the question, if he would have gone, well, I think it was Coach McKay who once said he was in favor of his team's execution after they didn't execute. That was us tonight.
Yeah.
He would have.
That would have worked.
Yeah. But maybe Greg's right that younger people don't understand it and didn't find it funny at all.
I don't think the way he did it, it was funny. I thought it sounded really odd and really
mean. It was
mean.
Clunky.
Yeah, it was very clunky. All right, so one thing we wanted to get to today, and we haven't yet, is some Lakers. This DeAndre Jordan thing is reportedly, at least, it hasn't happened.
Woj is saying it's happening.
Woj is saying it's happening. But it hasn't officially happened, right?
Correct.
I think this is a genius move for the Lakers. And I think it spells the end for Marc Gasol. I think DeAndre Jordan signs and either Marc Gasol is cut or Marc Gasol gets a buyout or whatever that is to go somewhere else, because with DeAndre Jordan and with Dwight Howard, we've got our centers. What do you think?
I think there's room for all three of them. Remember that Anthony Davis is going to play some center too.
Sure, he's going to play
He doesn't love it. It's not his favorite position. So if you could get 16 minutes. You don't want DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, or Marc Gasol to play a whole lot more than 16 minutes.
Right.
If you get 16 minutes out of each of them and kind of do center by committee, I think it would work.
You know what? Here's what I think. I think that DeAndre Jordan is going to immediately become the starter.
Could.
I think he's going to be in the starting lineup at the five when Anthony Davis starts the game at the four. I mean, their most effective lineup always includes Anthony Davis at the five. But remember what we did with JaVale McGee and Dwight. JaVale would start. Dwight would come in off the bench. That would spell Anthony Davis from playing the five. It allowed him to play the four for a big stretch of time. We were able to defend the basket. We had rim protectors. And with DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard, we've got that rim protection again.
Right. Well, each one of those three guys has a different skill set. Dwight Howard is great defensively and is an excellent rebounder. DeAndre Jordan is probably the best finisher of the lob I've ever seen. Remember from those?
Oh, sure.
Lob, you know, matter of fact, there's been years where DeAndre's had the highest shooting percentage in the NBA. I mean, top five all time. Like,
yes.
He shoots 70% from the field. And Marc Gasol is an excellent passer who can operate out of the high post. So if you want to clear out space, if you want the middle to be open for Anthony Davis to operate or for LeBron or Russ to slash to the hoop, Marc Gasol serves a role there because he opens up the middle. If DeAndre or Dwight is in the game, you really got to put him in the low post. That's where they live. So I can see all three staying, but you might be right. Maybe they don't go with three centers.
Yeah, I thought Marc Gasol was awful last year.
Oh, I didn't.
I thought he was awful. I know he played limited minutes, but I mean, he's scoring 6 points a game and four rebounds or whatever the hell it was, and no rim protection because he plays at the top of the rim so much, at the top of the arc so much of the time.
Right.
He's
well, keep
not
this
protecting
in mind.
The basket.
Keep this in mind too, though. He's the only one of those three who can make threes.
Correct.
Which is a necessity in today's game. So I think there's a place for all three of them. I don't know what Rob Pelinka's plan is to. If he wants to keep three centers, but I could see a world where they kept all three. And I'm with you, by the way. I love the DeAndre Jordan signing. I think that the one thing that the Lakers kind of needed at the end of free agency was size.
Yep.
Because they signed Dwight, but they signed mostly wings. You know, you think about it, Kent Bazemore, Malik Wayne Monk, Ellington. Wayne Ellington. They didn't sign a lot of size. And so if they can sign DeAndre Jordan, that's a get.
Yeah, huge get.
Like,
huge
I was get. When Paul Millsap went to the Nets, I thought that's a good pickup for
the
Nets.
Yeah, it was
a
really good pick. And they got LaMarcus Aldridge back, too.
I don't know if I don't know if he's long for the league, but we'll see. I hope he is. I don't, you know, he retired because of health reasons, so I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
But I love DeAndre Jordan, you know, you put it best, in a JaVale McGee role. I think DeAndre Jordan would be excellent.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, it's Lie of the Day time. So somewhere along the line, I told a lie. And if you think you know what it is, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN.
For Rams tickets, right?
For Rams, Bears, Sunday night football, national TV, see Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald and everybody. Call 877-710-ESPN. Right now, if you think you know the lie of the day. That's coming up next for you. Then we got Game of Games, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tickets for Sunday night at SoFi to see the Rams versus the Bears, 5 o'clock national TV, Matthew Stafford making his debut. You can still, by the way, get tickets at rams.com/CHI, Chicago. And there was a lie told today, and let's see if anybody can sniff it out, John.
All right, I think I have one idea.
Okay.
About who it could be. Now, I don't have any calls lined up. So Taylor's going to have to tell us who's online.
Okay.
But
877-710-ESPN if you think you know the lie for Rams-Bears tickets.
And what will be interesting is that this is the first Sunday night football game NBC has this season, like the first one that counts. And it's going to be not Justin Fields. It's going to be Andy Dalton playing quarterback. I might take the Rams for my survivor pick. All right, here's Carlos online, who has a guess for Lie of the Day. Carlos, what do you think Mason lied about?
I think that there's no way he met Juan online before meeting him in person.
Oh, that's good. Mace, is that it?
Ding. Ding,
wow!
Ding.
Carlos!
Absolutely right, Carlos. Juan and I, as the story goes, did meet at Casa Del Mar on New Year's Day. We did not in any way meet on social media. You sniffed it out. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, I think it was low-hanging fruit because he wanted someone to win. I'll tell you what, guys. I live in San Luis Obispo. My wife's from Belize. She's never been to a football game in her life. She's watched one Raider game on TV. We drove by that stadium within the last 2 weeks. This would be amazing.
Okay, good. So Carlos, good. Let me give you one tip. If you're coming from that far away, get there early. I think it's a Mace. It's a 5 o'clock,
5 o'clock
kick,
game.
Right?
Yeah, we're gonna get over there about 2:33.
Yeah. You know,
so come down and spend some time.
We got family in Inglewood. We got a place we stay by the airport. We got our hotel that we always stay by
awesome,
the airport.
Man.
We go down there all the time. So,
all right.
Thank you guys so much.
Oh, Carlos.
Let me know what I need to do.
Yeah.
Yep, we'll do it.
Taylor will put you on hold and get your information, and
good
we'll
job,
go
Carlos.
From there. Boy, I thought I had a different guess. I thought there was no way you and Juan only had one car. I thought by now you would have gone back to two cars. That was
100% true. 100% one car. We turned in Juan's car in like April of 2020, and we have only had one car since then because – where do you need to go, right? There's either one of us needs the car or the other of us need. I'm home all the time doing the show, so we get by with just one car. It's actually been a very smart expense-saving move.
Yeah, good for you guys. If you don't need to, don't do to. Hey, I wanted to, since we have a minute before we get to Game of Games.
Yeah.
Do you have this Rashid Wallace story?
I do.
Because this might be the dumbest. I mean, he said a lot of dumb stuff.
Yep.
This may be the dumbest thing he's ever said. Explain what I'm talking about.
Okay, so Rasheed Wallace was asked about LeBron James during a podcast called $1 Million Worth of Game. $1 Million Worth of Game. I want to get that right. This is what Rasheed said about LeBron James. He probably would have
LeBron James if he would have played in Rasheed's era.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He probably would have done good with his physical stature, with him being bigger than the majority of the rest of the players. So he probably would have held his own, but I don't think he would have been as successful as he is now. It's a whole different era back then. I couldn't necessarily say that he would have been a beast. I think he would have held his own.
Let me... I could give you 20 different reasons why that's idiotic, but let me couch it this way. People need to get their heads around this. And you don't have to take it from me. Ask anybody who ever played in the league. Michael Thompson will be here tomorrow and remind me to bring this up when Michael's in.
Definitely.
There has never, Mace, ever in the history of the NBA been a guy with the combination of skills that LeBron James brings to the table.
Yep.
Never with the power, the speed, the size, the passing. Went younger in his career, he locked people up defensively.
Yep.
Jordan is probably the guy who checks the most boxes, but Jordan's not the rebounder or the passer LeBron was. LeBron's probably not the scorer that Michael was, but LeBron's going to finish, and he'll be the only player ever, as the NBA's leading all-time scorer. He's on pace to pass Kareem in 2 years.
Yep.
And he'll be top 5 in assists.
Crazy.
And he'll be top 50 in rebounding. And there's just never been anybody like it. He might be, Mace, the best open court, the most unstoppable open court player ever. In other words, if he gets the ball with a full head of steam, you could have all 5 of your defenders back and still might not be able to stop him. And by the way, you know who else is ridiculous at that? Is Westbrook, which is why the Lakers are going to be so fun to watch this year.
Interesting to watch. Yeah. But, you know, the other thing about this is everybody thinks the league used to be harder than it was. Like, there will come a time when LeBron says, yeah, but in my era...
Right.
That always, Michael Thompson, in my era.
But Michael won't say that about LeBron.
No.
He won't.
LeBron would have thrived in any era.
And, you know, the other thing is now LeBron makes threes.
Yes.
You know, so it's not, I mean, point out the weakness in LeBron's game. There isn't one.
There ain't one. Ain't one.
And,
I mean, for me, if I have 5 greatest players, I'm putting LeBron 1, Jordan 2. And I don't think that's ridiculous.
The only reason people would come back at you about that, and LeBron's not done yet, so I don't think you're necessarily wrong, but what people would come back at you is 6 for 6 in the finals, and in 4 different occasions, he was MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Finals MVP, and leading scorer.
But as a pure basketball, a specimen, a player that does absolutely everything, as you've pointed out, better passer, better rebounder. It's not just scoring. LeBron, I think, is the most complete player that has ever played the game. Yes, he's not 6 for 6. He's got 4. But I still think as a specimen and as a skill set, that's the greatest player I have ever seen. And I don't think that's ridiculous. And it's not because he's a Laker. I said that before he was ever a Laker.
I think, by the way, one of the best things that could have happened to LeBron and the Lakers this year is earlier in the summer, it was in August.
Yep.
ESPN polled a bunch of scouts and executives around the league.
Yep.
And not one of them picked LeBron as the best player in the league. 5 people picked Giannis, 5 people picked Durant, 0 picked LeBron.
And that's why LeBron is the hashtag washed king.
Right, and LeBron tweeted after that came out, "Thank you, as if I didn't need more to fuel me, hashtag washed," and with a crown, with a king crown next to it.
Yep.
So I think LeBron is going to come out on a mission.
I do, too. I do, too.
And Westbrook is one of the few people that can match LeBron's competitive fire, and they're on the same team, and they've got Anthony Davis riding with them. And I just think it's got the potential to be as enjoyable and as fun of a Lakers season as we've had in years. Probably going back. Yeah. Thanks, Omar.
Exactly.
It's
going to be a really fun season.
Rasheed Wallace could not be more wrong.
Back in my day, it would have been.
Could not be
in
more
any
wrong.
Day. In any day. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. I believe it is John's game today.
Yes. What's the standings, by the way?
The standings for the month of
September.
After
7 days.
Mason won. Bergman won. We've only played twice. Mason won. Bergman won. Nobody yet to score. Everybody else yet to scratch. So we'll.
All right, are we letting Taylor play, or is that too much on his plate?
Taylor, are you going to play?
I'm in.
Okay, good.
Taylor's going to play. Awesome. Good. We'll do that all coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
What does it mean in golf if you give someone a breakfast ball? A, you hand someone a new golf ball on the first tee. B, you let him hit his first shot over again with no penalty. Or C, you give someone a shot of whiskey at the start of the round. A, B, or C?
I'm going to go B. There'd be a mulligan. I'm going to go A. Sorry.
Okay, you're going A. You hand someone a new golf ball on the first tee. Taylor, A, B, or C?
B.
Greg, A, B, or C?
Yeah, Mace, you blew it. It was B.
You had it, Mace. It was B. Somebody hit their first shot over again with no penalty.
I thought that would be a mulligan.
All right, it is a mulligan, but it's also known as a breakfast ball. Okay. So Taylor's on the board. Greg 3, Taylor 1, Mace yet to scratch.
Oh,
all right, Taylor, back to you. The player who has won the most majors in golf is Jack Nicklaus. He has 18. Who is second to Jack Nicklaus? Is it A, Ben Hogan, B, Tiger Woods, or C, Arnold Palmer? Taylor, Hogan, Woods, or Palmer?
Give me Palmer.
Okay, Greg.
Oh, no. Is it Hogan
Woods,
or
Palmer?
Or Woods? I don't know if Tiger ever passed Hogan. I'm going to say Hogan.
Okay, Mace. Hogan, Woods, or Palmer?
I'm going to say Tiger.
Mason's on the board. It is Tiger.
I knew it was Tiger. God.
15.
Dang it.
All right.
Stupid.
So now, Greg 3, Steve 1, Taylor 1. All right. Next one. This one goes to Greg, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Greg, of these current tour pros, who has the most major wins of these three guys? A, Phil Mickelson, B, Brooks Koepka, or C, Rory McIlroy? Mickelson, Koepka, or McIlroy?
Mickelson.
Okay, Mace.
Koepka.
Koepka and Taylor.
I'm going to go Koepka as well.
Mickelson is the answer, and Bergman is starting to run away a little bit.
I should have gotten a Tiger one.
All right. Mace, this one to you.
Okay.
Another name for a utility club is A, putter, B, rescue, or C, two iron. A, B, or C, another name for utility club.
I'll say it is a two iron.
Okay. Taylor. A, B, or C?
Let's do C.
You're going two iron as well. Greg, A, B, or C?
I should know this, but I don't, so I will say B.
You do now. It is B. Rescue is a utility club. Bergman has won
it. So it is a long club or a short club?
It's a long club. It's a hybrid, so it looks like a wood, but hits the same distance as a four or a five iron. Okay. We'll just play these last two for fun. Which of these clubs do I not carry in my golf bag? A, a 3-wood, B, a 4-iron, or C, a 50-degree wedge? Taylor, A, B, or C, 3-wood, 4-iron, or 50-degree wedge? Taylor?
B.
B. He's
just
going,
yelling out letters.
Yeah, I know nothing about golf, guys. Right, I'm right on the wheelhouse here.
Greg, A, B, or C? 3-wood, 4-iron, 50-degree wedge.
See, I wonder if you're different, because most people don't hold 4-irons in their bag. So I'll say 4-iron.
Okay, Mace?
Yeah, I also think it's a 4-iron.
You guys are all correct. Yeah, it was a 4-iron. All three of you got that one right. I do carry a 3-wood. And a 50 degrees. Yeah, right after you said you know nothing about golf is the one you got right. Yep. All right, last one. All right. The Royal and Ancient Golf Club is the oldest club in the world and considered to be the home of golf. In which country is that found, the Royal and Ancient Golf Club? Greg, is it A, England, B, Ireland, or C, Scotland?
C, Scotland.
Mace?
C, Scotland.
Taylor?
That I do know. Scotland.
Yep, you guys are all right. Greg wins it. Bergman, you got 7 of 8. Very
That's
good.
That's impressive.
Boom.
And the tiebreaker we'll just do for kicks. Tiger Woods has won more money on the PGA Tour than any player ever. How much money has Tiger won on the Pro Golf Tour? Closest wins it. Doesn't matter if you go over. Taylor, how much money has Tiger Woods won on the Pro Golf Tour?
What were the numbers?
No, you're just guessing. Total amount of money Tiger's won in his career playing golf.
$45 million.
Okay. Greg?
$17 million.
70? 7-0?
17.
$17 million. All right, Mace, what do you think?
$100 million.
Mason is much closer than you other two idiots.
Even though
Mace could have won by just going 46, he... 120 million, 128,751,706. So 120 million for Tiger on the Pro Golf Tour. And that's not even counting his endorsements, which are more than that.
Oh, yeah.
So just by purses, just by winning tournaments, 120 million.
By the way,
I had to give you something, Mace.
I want to give the final results of the poll. How do you think Venice Mace will do against LA Ireland in our golf match on Friday? 9 holes. I'm getting 25.5 strokes. What do you think the percentage is for Ireland wins big?
Not that big, like 20%.
47%.
Ooh. What so that means 53% think you have a chance.
Yeah, 24% is Ireland wins competitive. 9% is Mason wins competitive. And 20% is Mace plant. There's a real chance.
Yeah, and we'll discuss possible tweaking of the system. We may play match play to give you a better chance. We'll see.
Okay, cool. All right, there you have it. There's your Mason in Ireland. Exciting part of our new live and local lineup. We're super excited about that. And coming up next for you is Sedano back from vacation along with Cap. See you tomorrow, 710 ESPN.